You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. From the Islamic State to Russia, Iran to Saudi Arabia, the hotspots in international news often have something in common. They're home to a big part of the world's supply of oil. As remote as those regions may be from our local gas station, our next guest says there's a direct link between what we buy and what goes wrong in resource-rich parts of the world.
He says our moral beliefs have been corrupted by dependence on oil and other mineral resources, and American foreign policy has ignored and even supported tyrannical and oppressive governments around the world to keep that supply flowing.
Leif Wenaar joins us now. He's chair of philosophy and law at King's College London. His new book is Blood Oil, Tyrants, Violence, and the Rules That Run the World. Leif, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. Great to be with you both.
A lot of your book focuses on oppression and tyranny in foreign countries, but your argument is really pitched closer to home here in the Western world, I think, that consumes these products. So why should a consumer, say, here in Wisconsin, think about the impact of our oil consumption and other resources on the rest of the world?
Well, think about it. I mean, some of the people there might have read the article in the New York Times today that I wrote about, is the world getting better? And it generally is getting better, except in countries that produce a lot of oil. So look around right now. We got ISIS and Assad and Syria, refugee crisis, Libya, Iran, Saudi Arabia, all these countries giving us so much trouble. Where does the money for all that trouble come from? After all, those bombs and bullets and propaganda, it's all very expensive. Well, you know, ultimately, that money comes from us when we fill up at the gas station and pay for oil, and not only at the gas station, but for anything that's made with oil or transported with oil, which is just about everything we buy.
So we're morally implicated, in a sense, in oppression and tyranny that's on our dime, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much we can do about it right now. Wherever we go, whatever we buy, we use energy, and a lot of that energy is right now from oil. But we can change the rules that run the world. If we try now, we can get ourselves out of business with those men of blood overseas and stop sending them all of that money.
We'll get into some of your recommendations on how to do that in a minute, but I want to talk about this idea of the resource curse, because you'd think, you know, our country found a valuable mineral, gold, diamonds, oil, whatever. Hooray, we're all rich. But that's this resource curse idea says, no, it doesn't really work out to everyone's benefit.
You're so right, and it's so ironic, because resources should be a blessing. But in so many places where the government is not accountable to the people of the country, resources are just a curse. And it's so interesting why that should be so. So natural resources like oil, you can think of them as just big reservoirs of cash underground. And the way the world works right now, well, whoever can control those reservoirs under the ground will get all the cash, and they can use that money in whatever way they want. So if it's an armed group like ISIS, they can use the money to buy more weapons. Or if it's an authoritarian government like Saudi Arabia, it can use the money for oppression and spreading its extreme version of Islam around the world.
Now, you point out that in some cases, I think you point toward Sweden as a country. They've got, oil from the North Sea. They've figured out how to share the proceeds with their general citizenry. Why is that the exception? Why is it the norm that a country with this rich resource has maybe a dictator at the top and a lot of people not participating in the benefit at the bottom?
Yeah, it's Norway over there, and it's
Norway.
Not only Norway, it's the United States. Think of our vast, vast natural resources. We've got everything in the United States, not only oil, but minerals aplenty, and in general, it does great for us. What's the difference between countries where oil is a blessing and countries where oil is a curse? It really is one thing. Did the oil money come in before the country became democratic? That is, did the oil money come in before the people had control of the government? If the oil money comes in when there's a strong man in power like Gaddafi in Libya, or if the oil comes in when there's an armed group in power like we see now amongst the armed groups in Libya, then the money just goes to pay for more authoritarianism and violence. That's when oil money is really trouble, and when it comes in non-democratic countries.
We're talking to Leif Wenaar about his new book, Blood Oil, Tyrants, Violence, and the Rules That Run the World. Let's talk about how the West, how, say, the United States, relates to those countries with a lot of a resource like oil, but without that representative government, do we do we help create a more accountable government in those countries, or have we reinforced autocracy?
Well, you know what? We have tried every possible strategy towards oil-rich, non-democratic countries. And whatever strategy we take, it ends up working out really bad for those countries and for us. So let's just look back. I mean, over the last 40 years, all the countries that have been giving us trouble, starting with the Soviet Union, and then Iran, and Iraq, and then Libya, and then the genocide in Darfur, and now Iraq, and Syria, and Libya again. What our strategies towards these countries have been quite varied. Sometimes we go for containment, sometimes we do sanctions, sometimes we do invasions, sometimes we make an alliance with the authoritarian regime like we have with the Saudis. But whatever strategy we take politically, these countries always end up biting us back because the violence that oil generates over there always ends up sloshing back onto us whether we want to get involved or not.
So that seems pretty pessimistic anyway. If we've tried a lot of strategies, we're still where we are. Those countries are still despotisms in many cases. What's a better way to do things?
Well, Rob, you're going to be surprised to hear this, but I'm actually a very optimistic guy. So there is one very old, very bad rule that's causing this trouble, and we take it entirely for granted because it's been around for hundreds of years, but it actually makes no sense and we can change it. This is just the old bad rule that says we'll buy oil from whoever in a foreign country can control it by force. So, for example, when Saddam took over Iraq in a coup, we started buying Iraq's oil from him. And then when ISIS took over those same wells, the world started buying Iraq's oil from ISIS. Our rule basically says might makes right. Now, that rule makes no sense from an ordinary perspective, right? If there's a gas station in Madison and an armed gang takes it over, nobody thinks that the law should give the bystanders the right to buy the gas from that armed gang. But that is actually how the world works now. Might makes right. That's the rule that puts us into business with whoever can be the most violent and coercive and extreme overseas. And that's the rule that sends all of our dollars at the pump and at the checkout to these violent actors abroad.
But an argument for that, I guess, is a government of, say, the United States is first and foremost trying to see to the needs of its own citizens, American citizens. If, therefore, oil and other commodities are necessary for the functioning of our economy, we should pay whoever's selling it to buy it and let them worry about their own problems, I guess.
It could be. But look at all the problems that oil has given us. Like I say, our biggest threats and crisis over 40 years have come from these oil states, all the way back to the Soviet Union surging ahead of us in the nuclear arms race and all this parade of horrors and threats that we keep getting. And I'm sorry to say that it looks like things are going to get worse in these countries. So the director of the CIA stood up last week and said, the Middle East is facing unprecedented violence and bloodshed. Things there look like they're really destabilizing all over the place. Right now, when this bad old rule of might makes right is in effect, we only have these awful, clumsy tools at hand to try to contain the violence and the extremism. We can invade. We can put sanctions on. We can fly drones over. But these are such clumsy tools trying to check the unchecked power of these actors over there who are empowered by our money. And let me just say, the violence in the Middle East, if it gets worse, is really going to get worse for us, too. Almost all of our recessions have been preceded by oil price spikes, and you can just see the extremism that's been generated in this region has started spreading farther and farther around the world, not only to Asia and to Europe, but maybe starting even here too.
We're talking to Leif Wenaar about his new book. It's called Blood Oil, Tyrants, Violence, and the Rules That Run the World.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about the impact our consumption of oil and other resources has on the rest of the world. Should U.S. foreign policy work to keep those resources flowing, even if it means supporting oppression in other countries? And what questions do you have for our guest? You can call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now with Leif Wenner, philosopher and author of the new book, Blood Oil, Tyrants, Violence, and the Rules That Run the World.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that we in the U.S. have a moral responsibility for damage created by the oil and other commodities we consume? Should we change our foreign policy, push for political change in other countries, even if it endangers our supply of oil and other key economic resources? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Leif, I wanted to get into some of your recommendations now. You say we should, as a matter of public policy, try to ban imports from authoritarian countries. Can you hash that out a little?
Sure. And let me just say that it's so important that we start thinking about this. Folks out there might so far be thinking, okay, we know that oil causes a lot of trouble. That's not new. But here's something that is new just in the last few years. And let me just say this very clearly. We don't need authoritarian oil anymore. We don't need to buy oil from those guys anymore. We have a lot of oil in the country now. Even as we transition away from fossil fuels, we should also be transitioning away from authoritarian oil. We can do it. We don't need that oil. And since it's President's Day, let me just mention that buying oil from authoritarian regimes violates one of America's own deepest principles, which was enunciated best by Abraham Lincoln, actually, in his first inaugural. And this is just the principle that a country belongs to its people. It's the people and not power in each country who should make the ultimate decision on what happens to the country, including its resources. So if we made our laws according to our own deepest American principles, we would say, from now on, we are going to taper off our purchases of oil from any country where the people could not possibly be holding their government accountable for their selling off the oil.
And on a related note, you say that we need to try to enforce people's rights to their resources. So in the example you gave, if that gang has taken over the gas station, helping to restore it to public control, taking the gang out of power. Now, that can mean a lot of different things, from, sanctions to polite nudges to military intervention. How would you see this working?
This is a totally peaceful change that we can do on our own country to promote democratic transitions abroad. Our soldiers can stay home this time. All we need to do is to align our own laws with our own ideas and say we're no longer believing that we have a right to buy oil from anyone who's selling it off without the people's possible assent. So we change our own laws for our own people on our own soil, and we say, for example, who rules in Saudi Arabia is none of our business, but right now that regime will simply qualify for none of our business. We don't need their oil, and in fact, it violates our own principles to buy that oil from them.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Linda on the line in La Crosse. Linda, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, Linda.
I think for our moral responsibility, I like the idea that as consumers, we can believe that what we purchase can empower other people in the world. But how can we have assurance that our decisions, given the interconnections of world economics, can have as big of a difference as we would like, especially when other major countries like China and Russia purchase oil to their own desires.
Linda, thanks a lot for that call. And this is a common argument about things like sanctions or divestment. Great, we stop purchasing it. Someone else will just take advantage of these slightly lower prices, and we've made no difference, Leif.
Yeah, it's a very common argument. If you look at the history of these kinds of movements, this great worry comes up all the time. Actually, in the 18th century, when the British were first contemplating banning the slave trade, the objection was, look, if we don't sell slaves, then the French and the Spanish will sell slaves, and they'll get rich, and we'll be slaves to them. So it's very important for the U.S. to lead the West to get off authoritarian oil. That will do a lot for our own security. If the Chinese and the Indians, say, want to keep importing that oil, well, then they can have the insecurity and the instability around the resource-cursed regions of the world for themselves. The big importing countries, U.S., Europe, China, India, all share this common problem of the instability in the Middle East and Africa. All of us should be working towards moving at once to say, look, we're not going to buy oil from those countries until we can find a minimally decent government that represents the people in place.
Linda, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Leif, your mention of slavery reminds me of an example you give that you say gives some grounds for optimism. I think it was a Manchester cotton mill during the American Civil War. The workers there trying to figure out if they were morally culpable for buying cotton produced in the U.S. and the South, actually, by slaves.
It's so true, and it's such an inspiring story. And in fact, it's another great Lincoln story. It's such a great one for President's Day. So even after the British had banned their own slave trade and slavery in their empire, they still had to decide whether they were going to buy slave-picked cotton coming from the southern states in America during the Civil War. And there was a big debate in Manchester because Manchester was the center of the cotton trade of the world, and a lot of people's livelihoods, even lives, depended on that cotton getting through. But on the last cold day of 1862, the people of Manchester got together in their free trade hall and held a vote and decided to take no more slave-picked cotton. That was a tough decision from them. Unemployment rose, starvation set in, but then the people of the North in the United States started sending over ships full of provisions, and Abraham Lincoln wrote a letter to the people of Manchester thanking them for their generosity and their solidarity. It is a great story, and that kind of solidarity, people coming together and saying, look, we're just not going to buy any more authoritarian oil, any more oil stolen from the people. That's the kind of popular movement that can get us out of the predicament that we're in right now.
Talking to Leif Wenner about his new book, Blood Oil, Tyrants, Violence, and the Rules That Run the World. Take another caller now with John in Milwaukee. John, hi.
Hello. Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting point of view you've got, especially our supposed ally, the Bush family ally, the Saudi Arabian family, you know, Bandar Bush and all those people who take their money and support and weaponize ISIL in the Middle East.
John, I got you, John. So Saudi Arabia gets a lot of attention, not surprisingly, in your book, Leif, a long case study, really, of how this all plays out.
It's true, and it's such an interesting story, which is really now only beginning to be understood. The Saudis have been our political allies for decades and decades, but for their own purposes, the Saudi regime has also been engaged in what looks like the largest ideological campaign in the history of the world. They have been sending tens of billions of dollars all over the world to build mosques and study centers and madrasas where this very extreme, fundamentalist, anti-Christian, anti-Semitic, and anti-other versions of Islam, strain of Islam is taught. And that's what we see mutating into this terrible jihadi extremism all around the world. So when you see jihadi extremism suddenly spring up in Europe, for example, somehow, if you trace it back, you'll very likely find Saudi money behind it, which means that some of that money is ultimately our money coming back to haunt us.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Leif, do you feel in saying we need to change the way we do business with the rest of the world, like a lone voice crying in the wilderness, or do you think we're on the cusp of a serious change?
You know what? When people hear about these ideas, they really want to think about it. We just don't need to buy oil from those guys anymore. They've caused us no end of nightmares, and we don't need their stuff anymore. It might seem like a challenging change, but let me just ask this for the good folks out there. How many impossible political changes have happened in your lifetime? You know, end of the Soviet Union, fall of apartheid, election of an African-American president. It always seems hard. It always seems impossible until the day that it happens.
Leif, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it.
That was Leif Wenner, Chair of Philosophy and Law at King's College London. We've been talking about his new book. It's called Blood Oil: Tyrants, Violence, and the Rules That Run the World.